Good morning, everyone, and a happy new year to you. The sermon passage this morning is Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, and you can find that in the Red Bible on page 685, or in the Black Bible on page 971, page 971. By the way, one of the things I'm very thankful for in Raft Anglican Church is Matt. It's great to have him as an assistant minister. And if he were a car, he would be a Jaguar. All right. Matthew chapter 7. The gospel, that is. Verses 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened to. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we take a closer look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we desire to be able to confess with Job, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Father, may we today treasure your word more even than the food that we look forward to. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to come clean at the start of this series on prayer and say that I struggle with prayer. I don't find prayer easy. I have to work hard to pray. I sometimes find prayer a discipline that I simply have to persevere in. But thankfully, I also find prayer rewarding at times. It can be sweet, joyful, and liberating. Apparently, most Christians struggle with prayer. I did a search for books on prayer on a Christian bookstore website, and there were 2,712 results. I don't think there are quite that many books, but I stand to be corrected. Might have been other prayer-related items. Nevertheless, there are many books on prayer. And among those, there are titles such as You Can Pray. And Prayer, Does It Make Any Difference? Another title, Growing in Prayer. And Rebuilding Your Confidence in Prayer. And my favorite, Enjoy Your Prayer Life. Well, as you might expect, I've read a few Christian books on prayer. Some are brilliant, some are terrible. And I've actually stolen the title of this series from the American Bill Hybels. He wrote a book entitled Too Busy Not to Pray. I think it's a great title, but I don't recommend the book. I was captivated, in fact, by the title, and so I read the book, and in my opinion, frankly, it was a waste of time. The best part of the book was the title, and after that, it was all just downhill. Well, I've more or less stolen the titles of each of the messages in this series from another book, a book entitled Prayer and the Voice of God. It's written by, sorry? Is it upside down? It is, you're right, there we go. Thank you. Great assistant. Jaguar, I tell you. Prayer and the Voice of God. It's written by Philip Jensen and Tony Payne. And I actually think it's a really bad title for a book on prayer. But nevertheless, I read this book because I've previously been helped by another book that these two authors wrote. And I was not disappointed. I think this book, in fact, is the polar opposite of Heibel's book. The title might be a bit of a mouthful, but it just gets better and better. Well, before I begin, I need to explain that this message is not an expository sermon, but it's a topical or a doctrinal message. In other words, I'm not preaching this passage in Matthew's Gospel as much as I am preaching on the subject of prayer from this passage. So let's begin without any further ado with the first question in our series. Why should we pray? I think the first answer we see in God's word is that we should pray because God allows us to. Could we have the first slide, please? We should pray because God allows us to. Our culture assumes that we can pray to God whenever we please and that God has to listen to us. That's a disastrous mistake. It's a mistake because prayer is not a right, it's a privilege. Prayer is not a human right because humans are sinful and God is not. Jesus affirms that we are sinful in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. You can see it there, those underlined words. If you then, though you are evil, humans are evil, but God is holy. Set apart, other. God is righteous, pure, and good, and God will never accept sin. So when a sinful human prays to the holy God without a suitable mediator, God does not hear their prayers. God does not listen. God does not answer those prayers. I can send countless emails to American President Barack Obama, but he won't answer any of them. Barack Obama is President of the United States of America, and I am an Australian citizen. I'm the wrong nationality. I'm not American. And for the same reason, I think that this explains why some people think that prayer is a waste of time. I've heard people saying that they've tried prayer, but it didn't work. It didn't work because they didn't have a mediator. God provided the perfect mediator in his Son, Jesus. Jesus lived a holy life, died for sinners. And then, of course, God raised him from the dead, vindicating his sacrifice for sinners. And so now Jesus speaks to the holy God on behalf of sinful people who trust in Jesus. He acts as our mediator. And the holy God listens to the prayers of sinful people like you and me who pray in Jesus' name. In other words, who ask through God's mediator. What an awesome privilege to be heard by the holy God. What a gift. So the first reason why we should pray, because God allows us to. The second is because God is willing and able. We should pray because God is willing and able. I wonder if you've ever prayed and you've not received what you asked for. You've asked and begged and pleaded, but you've received no response. It begins to feel like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. When we pray and don't get what we've asked for, we're tempted to doubt God, aren't we? Perhaps God is not good. Maybe he doesn't care much. Or maybe he's just capricious. Perhaps God is good, but he's not all-powerful. Maybe he doesn't have the strength, or there's a limit to his resources. Well, Jesus responds to that doubt in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 to 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We're imperfect, we're self-centered, we're proud, we're God-defying people. And Jesus sums that up in the word evil. But even though we're evil, we would never dream of harming our children. If my children ask for food from me, I'm not going to starve them or give them poison. Of course I'll feed them. Well, God is not like you and me. What a relief that is. God is not evil. So if evil parents like us answer our children lovingly, how much more will our Father answer us lovingly? If you and I ask for something we need in Jesus' name, our Heavenly Father will give us what is good. But if you prayed trusting in Jesus, and if God is good and almighty, then why did you not receive what you asked for? Because God answered your prayer in the best way. God didn't give you what you wanted. God gave you what you needed. And sometimes that's hard. It's what you needed, even if it didn't seem like it at the time. God gave you what is good for you and what glorifies him. So the second reason that we should pray, because God is willing and able. The third reason we should pray, because we need God's help. We need God's help. When life's easy and everything's going swimmingly, we can pretend that we're not dependent upon God. Work is secure, retirement is fulfilling, finances are in reasonable shape, the house is getting paid off, our stomachs are always full and we've always got something to wear. All is well. But inevitably, something eventually jolts us out of our false sense of self-sufficiency. Perhaps retrenchment, or an accident, or a serious illness, or a crime, or a divorce, or a natural disaster, or a death in the family. Something which reminds us that we're creatures. We're creatures. We're fallible, frail, and finite creatures. We're error-prone, we're weak, and we're limited. We are not masters of our own destiny. We're really very vulnerable. We have very real needs because we are only creatures. And Jesus implies our neediness in this passage in Matthew chapter 7. You can see it there, can't you? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Jesus knows our neediness, and that's why he tells us to ask, seek, and knock. God again is different to you and I. God is not in need of anything. God is the creator. God is infallible, firm, and infinite. God is truly self-sufficient. More than that, Jesus tells us that God is quite willing to meet our needs. You see that in verse 8. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Imagine winning a competition in which the prize is $20 million. The money is legally yours, and you've been informed of your prize. Now imagine that you didn't claim your prize. Oh, you forgot, or you just lost interest. Not likely. But that's just how we treat prayer. We have a Heavenly Father whose generosity can meet our every need, emotional, physical, spiritual, and social. But we fail to ask. We don't pray. The third reason we should pray, because we need God's help. And the fourth and last reason, we should pray because God commands us to. God commands us to. We all know Aussies are suspicious of authority. That's why two of the Melbourne sports teams are called the Rebels and the Renegades. Unless you're in the Australian Defence Force, commands are viewed with suspicion. Perhaps they even are in the Australian Defence Force, I don't know. But God's commands are different. God is good. So when he gives commands, they are good. And God's commands do two things. They protect and they provide. They protect God's people from danger, and they provide for the needs of God's people. For example, God commands in Exodus 20, verse 15, "You shall not steal." This command protects other people from the damage done by theft, and it protects us from the negative consequences of theft, such as revenge. It also provides for other people so that they don't lose their possessions. And it provides for us by giving us peace of mind, a clear conscience. Well, because God is good and his commands are good, to disobey one of God's commands is to do evil, isn't it? And God has commanded us to pray. Jesus instructs us to pray in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Look at those words. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. In fact, there are numerous commands in Scripture to pray. I've just selected four additional commands. Will you bring them up, please, Michaela? There's the first. Romans 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And lastly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just four examples of the many commands to pray. If we don't pray, we disobey God's command. To fail to pray is sin. as a loving father disciplines his children, God will discipline us, his children, who don't obey his command to pray. And why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? We should pray because God commands us to. So lastly, Michaela, if you can bring up the final slide. Why should we pray? Because God allows us to. Because God is willing and able. Because we need God's help. And because God commands us to. So let's obey him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we can be neglectful of prayer. We can be a prayerless people. We often fail to pray. But Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that you allow us to speak to you and to bring our requests to you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died and rose again, making that possible, dying in the place of us sinners and rising, vindicating that sacrifice. Father, we thank you too that you are willing and able to answer our prayers. That you both desire to answer our prayers and you are strong enough, powerful enough to answer every prayer. So, Father, we confess that we need your help and we pray that you'd help us, therefore, to be more prayerful, bringing every need to you, just as children bring their needs to their parents. And we pray that you'd help us to be obedient children, following your command to pray, because your commands are good. Your commands protect and provide for us. So help us to pray, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.